The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Most of us are well acquainted with grief. For some of us, it's become our constant companion, an unwelcome reminder of what we and those we care about have lost. We know that whenever a loved one or a close personal friend dies, the process of grieving begins anew. In time, we come to accept and acknowledge that there is a deep sadness and a sense of loss. Something is missing because someone is missing. Peter, a friend of mine who's grieving the death of his beloved spouse, shared with me that the grief hours are between 1 and 5 a.m. For him, that's when the world is hushed and in the quiet and loneliness of the night. That is when he is most acutely aware that the place beside him in the bed they shared is now empty. I know some of you can relate. With each and every loss, our emotions run the gamut from shock and anger sometimes to deep sadness and an emptiness on account of the gaping hole in our heart. Indeed, many of us are well acquainted with grief. Grief, after all, is the human experience. It's something we all experience. It's a universal experience. It's the cost that comes from being vulnerable and loving others. Mourning is the precursor to being able to accept the losses we experience when death separates us from our loved ones. And while I would never intentionally do anything to try to diminish those raw feelings of those losses that we experience and the pain that we feel, let me just say that there is also another kind of mourning, one that is also very real and very painful. And yet this one is one we tend not to deal with very much, if at all. All too often, we don't even dare to name those things and situations in our lives that cause us to mourn. In part, I think that's because we don't know what to do with these overwhelming feelings of grief. Jesus, of course, knew what it was to grieve. He knew what it was to suffer and to die. And like grief, mourning is part of the human experience. Not only did Jesus say, "Blessed are those who mourn," he added a promise, "For they will be comforted." Theologian Thomas Long put this teaching of Jesus into perspective for me when he wrote these words. The kind of mourning referred to here, and he means the Beatitudes, the kind of mourning Jesus referred to here is not so much mere sadness or weeping, but prayers of lament over the hurt of the world. This mourning grows out of an awareness of the difference between the world as it is and the world as God wills it to be. Through his writing, Long reminded me of an old commercial that aired on television when I was a child. Some of you will remember this. The scene opens with a view of a typical American highway. As the cameras panned across the roadway, we see everywhere the litter, carelessly cast off garbage and windblown refuse of a throwaway society. Finally, the camera comes to rest on the rugged face of a Native American. As he looks solemnly upon the soiled landscape, a tear falls from his eye, his grief marking the distance between the world as it is and the world as it should be. Today we remember the saints who've gone before us. We give thanks for their life and for their pilgrimage on earth. And we especially give thanks for those from our faith community who died this past year. Saint Joy, Saint Helen, Saint John, Saint Dorothy, Saint Connie. In faith, we entrust them to God's eternal care, and we cling to the promise that they rest in the loving arms of Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior. For our faith teaches us that death does not have the final word. At the same time, we must acknowledge all for which we lament, or else we will wallow in despair and perhaps even lose faith. We mourn for the way the world is versus the way God, our Creator, intended it to be. We mourn for the way things used to be, the way things are, and the way things ought to be. We mourn the broken relationships in our lives due to divorce, separation, or conflict. We mourn the loss of jobs, the loss of dreams, the loss of hope. We mourn the loss of what is familiar, the loss of security, the loss of mobility. We mourn for Mother Earth, Father Sky, Sister Moon, Brother Sun, and all the ways humanity misuses and abuses God's good creation. We mourn for people and places being destroyed by raging wars and innocent victims of senseless violence. And as people of faith, we must allow and give permission to one another. We must create space to mourn and lament openly for all that has been lost, even while we cling to the promise that Christ is with us, that Christ meets us in our suffering, our grief, our laments, our mourning, that Christ is in the boat with us. And Christ has been in the boat with us all along. That became clear to me recently when Terry Lambert, member of our congregation, used his drone to circle the sanctuary and take some pictures. And the drone hovered above that boat that's hanging from the rafters. And in that boat is a little figurine of Jesus. I never knew that. But apparently we have a youth director from years past, Chad, who thought it would be fun to put Jesus in the boat, probably as a joke or a prank. But I prefer to think of it as rather prophetic. Jesus is right there up in the boat with us. Of course, it's a figurine depicting Jesus in his long robe. And in fact, I think it was standing so you could see it. And it fell in to the boat. And it looks like Jesus did a face plant. But symbolically, we can take comfort that Jesus is, in fact, in the boat with us. Even as we remember Jesus saying, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And so, in closing, people of God, may we who mourn take comfort and hope in the promise of what has been, is now, and will be always, trusting wholly in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus remains with us, just as he had promised when he said, "Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Amen.